as an organization, we're really focused on like, how do you get the best second half of your life? Right? Like, that's the theme. That's what we're all aiming for.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. Welcome back, Rebels. Today's episode is one that I've been really excited about for you all because the peptide world is really blowing up right now, especially in regards to the specific weight loss meds under the GLP-1 receptor agonist category. Sometimes you've heard it be called semaglutide, sometimes you've heard it called tirzepatide, you know, the brand names you're going to hear are Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound. If you haven't heard any of those terms before, I would be really surprised that you clicked on this episode. I'm sure you are here because you're interested to learn more about GLP-1s, find out if it's the right thing for you, you know? I really wanted to have this conversation with Chris Spears, who is the founder of Orderly Meds, because they are in a category of accessible, straight to your house type of compounded medication. And this whole world is a very confusing world. And as I've explored it even for myself, for my clientele who cannot afford or get prescriptions from the general practitioner route, frankly, it's exorbitantly expensive, which is outrageous. I was really pulled towards Chris Spears' story because Orderly Meds is one of those companies that wanted to make things far more accessible for more people who can really benefit from these extremely powerful medications. And so today's episode is extremely important for those of you who are exploring compounded medications. I think that this is really important for you to know that, you know, I'm kind of sounding redundant right now saying really important, but I think that there's been a lot of misinformation in the compounding world when it comes to if it's safe or how it's processed or, you know, what exactly is it in comparison to the brand names on the FDA approval list and all of that. So we talk not only about the current state of compounded medications against, you know, the generic ones coming from standard big pharma to these smaller compounding pharmacies and where this world is going, because a lot of you might be here because you've heard that your compounded medication is gotten off the shortage list. So these compounding pharmacies are no longer allowed to compound them. There is a little caveat. So stay tuned for this whole conversation because Chris and I get really into it and he tells you the behind the scenes information on how this world is going to shift and how Orderly Meds is specifically already working to make a solution for all of you. Okay. So this is an awesome conversation that also shares a little bit about, you know, how he became interested in this world of making accessible care with medications available for, you know, anyone. And he also kind of shares a lot more about what's the difference between certain compounded medications and their pharmacies, and not only that, about what it really takes to support your body on these medications from his personal experience and then all the professionals that he works alongside. And so this is a great time for you to take some notes, pull out a pen and paper if you're somebody who is currently using or thinking of using a GLP-1 medication, because we're going to talk about the top tips between nutrition, movement, and mindset that are essential for having success on these medications and for long term. So whether you're on a GLP now or simply curious about it for the future of its accessibility, really, this episode is going to give you both insight and a little inspiration. But just a quick note before we dive in, this episode is for informational and educational purposes only, and it's not intended as medical advice. So always speak with your healthcare provider before making any changes to your medication or treatment plan, okay? As always, check out the show notes if you want to get into a little bit more or work with Orderly Meds, and you can also find all the other links to stay connected with me and join my community. Today's episode is brought to you by Orderly Meds, your trusted telemedicine platform for GLP-1 medications like semaglutide and tirzepatide. If you've been looking for sustainable weight loss solutions or improving your overall systemic inflammation, you're in the right place. So here's the deal. At Orderly Meds, your care is led by board-certified doctors, which matters a lot. Treatments come from FDA-regulated pharmacies, which matters even more. And their pricing, it's always upfront and crystal clear. So right now, they're making it even easier to start with their Simply Start 3-month starter program. And you can take that first step towards those goals without breaking the bank, which also matters, guys. So semaglutide is just $99 a month for the first 3 months. And that's literally $300 in savings. Or you can try tirzepatide for $199 a month, which that saves you $600 in those first 3 months. So if you're ready to step into the new year feeling more empowered with your physique and more supported by a team you can trust that is here for you and custom to your needs, go to the show notes, click the Simply Start link, and you can get started today. All right, let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Chris Spears, founder of Orderly Meds. All right, guys, I am joined with Chris Spears today. Welcome from Orderly Meds. We are so happy to have you here for our conversation.
Hi, Kaylee. Thanks for having me.
So for those of you who don't know, Chris Spears is the founder of Orderly Meds. And I know a lot of you guys, you know, who have listened to my episode back in December, or a lot of my clients who listen to this, you guys are using Orderly Meds. So this is a really fun conversation to get to have with Chris to kind of learn a little bit more about the foundation of Orderly Meds and just his story in general. So Chris, I would love to open up today's conversation talking a little bit about your backstory, kind of give everyone a little, you know, timeline for your life.
Okay. And we won't do the Goonies version.
I yeah, know. No, that's true.
But if, you know, if I jump to, you know, I had a background in technology. I ran a consulting company that did marketing and technology consulting for 17 years. And then the reason that we ended up starting Orderly Meds was actually a health event. So in October of 2022, I found myself in the ICU. They were cutting all my clothes off. They were telling me that I needed to give them permission to transfuse 4.5 pints of blood before I passed out. And came out the other side of that. I'm okay. But it did lead to a lot of fun conversations with my doctor the next year in 23 that was, Chris, you could stand to lose, you know, 50, 60, 70 pounds. You know, you'd be a lot better off if you did. And at that point in time, my general practitioner wrote me a prescription for Ozempic. And that's the beginning of this journey. So August of 23, I get that prescription. I call my insurance company and get told, nope, you're not eligible. Okay, I'll go check it out at the pharmacy anyway. Go to the pharmacy. I'll pay in cash, whatever. I need to get on this. And that is when the pharmacy said, we haven't had these medications in stock in 6 months. Good luck. You can try back every couple of weeks and see if there's any available for you to fill this prescription. And thankfully, you know, Facebook listens to every conversation you have. So the next day I'm getting ads from what are now, you know, Orderly Meds competitors. And I signed up with one of those platforms and the medication was, you know, I call it the dark world, right? Like at that point in time, like I'm digging around trying to understand what compounding is and oh my gosh, you can do telemedicine now for these sophisticated medications. You know, it's not just calling in to get a script for a Tamiflu or a cold or something. Like this is a little bit more serious. So I navigated that, got signed up, the medication worked great, and I didn't like anything about the customer experience. So 20 years in the landscape of marketing and technology was all customer experience work. I complained enough about it that friends and family said, Chris, if you're going to complain about this and it's something you know how to fix, go do something about it. And that is in October of 23, we sat down with a couple of folks and said, let's go build a customer experience that is better,
And what I mean by that is we wanted to do all the wraparound services, right? It's really easy to get the meds shipped out. It's much harder to bring mental, you know, health to the conversation, to bring a nutritionist, fitness, to build a community, and really try to win on a customer experience that, you know, we don't hit every single time. We make plenty of mistakes. We're going through our own growing pains there. But, you know, I'm going to continue to beat the drum that like customer experience is why the business was born. And the further we get into it, now it's more of a battle of how do we continue to provide access to these life-changing medications as the access to those slowly get eroded by Big Pharma and the FDA. And that's kind of the battle that I'm looking forward to this year.
Yes. And I'd love to dive into that a little bit with you here in a moment. But I think that is something that I would say is kind of what drove me to reaching out to, once I saw Precision Nutrition, was like, oh, you know, we have this resource with Orderly Meds. And I checked it out. I was like, oh, this is like legit. And this is a safe compounding, an FDA certified compounding pharmacy. Like, that's what you look for when you're looking for compounding. There are sketchy compounders, you know, from overseas and all that. This is not the same thing, right, at all. And so I was like, okay, this matters a lot because I'm not going to recommend stuff that is, you know, sketchy. So diving into it more, I was like, wow, this is arguably better for a lot of my clients because not only can they take their time at the dosing because it's not quite the pen, you know, a lot of them were stuck with the pens and then their doctors are like, well, you have to do one. And they're like, well, you know, all that kind of stuff, that world. And so Orderly Meds has been a game changer for them. And so it is one of those things where I really hope that, you know, things will be able to stay available because that I'm sure that this is a whole with the changes recently. So let's talk about that a little bit since we're on this topic. What is going on in the background that a lot of people don't really know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're following this or on these medications, you see, whether it's on Facebook or social or wherever you're getting that news source that the FDA has removed the medication from the shortage list. I think we can hem and haw on whether or not it's actually fully available or, you know, you go to your pharmacy right now, they'll probably tell you they don't have half of the meds that get requested and they can fill the other half in 3 or 5 days. But that's neither here nor there. I think as I look out to the future of what's going to happen here, and it's what Orderly Meds is leaning into heavily, is, you know, the reason that compounding exists, and there's two different classifications. There's a 503B that is really only exists to create exact copies of a patented medication and only when that medication is on the shortage list. So all of the 503Bs produced meds for the last several years, kind of up until this March 19th deadline around tirzepatide and the May 22nd deadline around semaglutide. And that medication is kind of on the shelf now for a lot of telemedicine vendors. We've all got kind of our inventory that we're working through and, you know, it's got a longer BUD or, you know, expiration date on it. So we've got 4 or 5 months of inventory on the shelf that we're going to continue to leverage. At the same time, and this is news that I think you're starting to see come out of some of the other telemedicine organizations, is the 503A category, which is a different type of compounding pharmacy, is allowed to make modifications to the core drug as long as it is medically necessary under the prescription of the doctor. So that could be, as you were just implying, a modification in the dose because going from 2.5 to 5 is going to create a problem with nausea or a gastro problem. So you're going to go up in a smaller increment. So that would be a reason that you could use a 503A. You know, I think as you look across the configurations of products that are coming out, people are putting in B12, B6 for energy and nausea. They're putting in glycine for muscle. They're doing things around immunization, right? Like there's a lot of other elements that when you look at someone's profile from a health perspective, there are other things that, you know, if you're going to give yourself an injection, add these additional items to it and overall have a healthier outcome. So for Orderly, you know, we are partnering with and looking to potentially acquire a pharmacy that is going to kind of do this at a much grander scale than has been considered in the past. So if you go to the 503A pharmacies that are still producing today, because we're past the tirzepatide shortage, they've all taken the medication and they've added one additive. So maybe they're doing a tirzepatide with B6. They're doing a tirzepatide with L-carnitine. They're doing a tirzepatide with glycine. The model that we are building out is tirzepatide and then multiple additives that support muscle or multiple additives that support heart health or multiple additives that support gastro and kind of resolution of nausea problems. So, you know, when we look at that landscape, you know, the doctor isn't going to say, hey, you're using this one 503A pharmacy, so every prescription we write makes it medically necessary for you to have B6, and instead give the doctors optionality, you know, and at launch, it'll start with three different configurations of the medication. Within 6 months, we'll have 20 different combinations that the doctor can pick from based on your blood work, the way you answer your health screening questions, the information that we can pull off of your health tech devices, your Apple Watch, your, you know, digital scale that you might step on, your Oura Ring, whatever that collection of data sources are going to feed into our model so that we can say, okay, here are the right additives for this individual patient. I'm sure that that will get challenged and that there will be conversations had between us and the patent holders. But we're optimistic that this is the right approach to provide a more precision medication for the individuals and allow us to continue keeping the access to these meds versus you just got to hope that the patent holders are able to produce enough at a pharmacy level.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's kind of it's a clever way to kind of navigate those waters, but right. It is one of those ways that hopefully it gives hope, honestly. And that is really cool. I was curious to hear how you guys were going to approach this. And so that's awesome. That's totally not what I expected. So
yeah.
That's great.
And, you know, as I look across when we talk to different, you know, either legal counsel, other people in the space, like this seems to be a pretty unique approach. Everybody else is kind of doing the one additive approach and we're thinking three plus for every product version that we bring to market. And I don't think that this was something that was possible prior to, you know, kind of the mass adoption of telemedicine in over COVID. I think this is absolutely a, you know, from a technology perspective, a big data. How do I collect that amount of data on a consumer and process it and figure out which set of additives are going to be a fit? So it's just right timing to try and execute a strategy like this.
Totally. And it kind of blends a little bit of both of your background.
Right.
And yeah, no, it's a kind of a unique take on that. And so when it comes to the 503B, 503A, 503B is like where you're currently operating out of. Yeah. And so essentially then these kind of blended versions with the 503A, that would be the identical like tirzepatide and semaglutide, like
it is still the same active pharmaceutical ingredient. Semaglutide or tirzepatide are the core active pharmaceutical ingredient, and then you know the personalization of that medication is some number of, you know, supplements, other medications, right? So there's there's options that have somorlin integrated into it or NAD, right? So there are other, you know, and I think we'll get more and more sophisticated here as we go through time and testing. But, you know, the idea that you could get this with, say, Linzapril, right? So now you've got kind of your heart health and your weight loss in one, you know, therapy.
Yeah. And I think that would be really unique too for people, because I think, you know, kind of going back to the conversation about when you were initially looking for other options versus just the FDA approved prescription label, Ozempic, Wegovy, you know, for all of our listeners, there's a lot of different names. And I know a lot of general population usually refers to as like, oh, well, I'm on Mounjaro. And so I'm like, okay, tirzepatide,
right.
You know, and it's kind of like getting those down. It's almost like Ziploc. But when you were looking into the compounding, you know, back in a couple of years ago when I was first, I always heard the jargon was compounding's dangerous, compounding's dangerous, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like you were saying, it depends on the pharmacy and then like using an accredited one or certified. But can you kind of explain to people a little bit about how compounding can potentially be advantageous over label with the brands?
It's in the beginning, there was only compounding. Right? Like your local pharmacist was where you got medication, right? And they created it out of a variety of, you know, active pharmaceuticals, and then kind of quote, big pharma came in and now owns the rights to certain medications and, you know, do a tremendous amount of work in the research and development of those drugs, obviously. You know, and then there are different scales of compounding, right? So you could be a 503A facility and you're just a retail pharmacy. Right. So the corner pharmacy is a 503A pharmacy. They just don't have the ability to do any compounding. They hand you your drugs when you come in with a prescription. A 503A sterile facility is different than a non-sterile facility. Right. So non-sterile would be pills and creams and things that you aren't injecting into your body. To do an injection, you got to have a sterile license. So there's a lot of different licensing. You know, I think to make it extremely clear, like the medication that is produced at a pharmacy is not FDA approved. right? The facilities are FDA approved or certified by the state board of pharmacy, depending upon like the level of rigor that that pharmacy's gone through. But the medication itself is not reviewed, right? It goes through third-party testing to say that this has this active ingredient in this quantity. And, you know, we see this a lot, right? A patient reaches out and says, this isn't working. I don't feel great about it. You know, I feel like I've got water in my vial. You can pull the batch number off of those vials. You can send it to the pharmacy and they'll send back the certificate of analysis that is done by a third-party testing group that'll say, you know, the amount of tirzepatide in this vial is between 0.98 and 1.01, right? And that's like, you know, basically 100%. You know, so there's a lot of ways to kind of validate the medication that you're getting, right? If you reach out to a pharmacy and they say, we don't have a certificate of analysis on our medication, that's probably a warning sign to look out for. You know, the other thing, and I don't come from a medical background, so I've had a lot of learnings in the last, you know, 14, 15 months. And the one that has surprised me the most is even that the governing bodies of the State Board of Pharmacy and the FDA oversee these compound pharmacies. Each inspector has their own little rule book, right? And it very much turns into, well, I'm walking around the pharmacy, I have to have something to put in my report. I can't say it's perfect. So there's always something that gets found, right? You can look up every single pharmacy that is shipping these medications, every single one, and they have some event in the last 12 months, whether it's there was a bug in the room over in the corner, or there was something on a wall, or there was a ceiling tile that had water damage. Like, it's almost like a placebo effect, right? If you watched Reddit or any of these channels long enough, you go, well, this is the good pharmacy this month, and then they're the bad pharmacy, and a new pharmacy is the good pharmacy. And, you know, I mean, even in our own community, you can step into conversations that are, these are the strongest meds I've ever gotten there. And I get nothing out of these meds. And I want to go back to the other pharmacy I was with. And it's very much like, we don't realize how much is going on in our body, our stresses, what we're eating, what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to say there's a massive difference between any of these pharmacies. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Right. That's the secret, right? I'm not going to name any names, but regardless of which pharmacy you get it from.
Yeah.
Their certificate of analysis is within, you know, a percentage point of the exact same medication across all of them. So.
Totally. Yeah. I've noticed that as well. Yeah. I've had a couple of people use other compounding and usually I can get them just swap into orderly just because like you said, the customer service is so much better as well, which is such a big deal.
Thank you.
Especially in a medical world, especially like it's very weight loss and anything to do with weight, regardless of if that's the main goal, is really emotional, especially for a lot of women, you know? So I think that taking the like really dry clinical side out of it is appealing, and you guys do a great job with the marketing as well as being like, we're a warm place.
You know,
to
we
do
have this,
this
conversation all the time, right? Like, people reach out and they're freaking out a little bit, right? They have just put their credit card in for a very large purchase to an online company that they haven't worked with before, and then they have a 24-hour period before they hear back from the doctor, right? And it's like, remember, show some empathy. Like, they've just made a huge life decision. And now that they've made the decision, they want it instantly, right? They don't want to wait 24 hours for the doctor and 2 days for the shipping. They want it the moment that, you know, instant gratification, right? So we have to have that empathy conversation all the time internally to say, just put yourself in their shoes, right? Like, this is a stressful moment. And I love what we do, and we still screw it up, right? People get lost in a technology system, or a text message or an email gets missed and ends up in the wrong place. And all we can do is, you know, say we're sorry. We'll try again harder and put a new process in place that catches that so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're really only in the first 5 years of this widespread telemedicine. Like, right. It's opened so many doors, but at the same time, there's so many kinks to work out, you know. The internet took how many years? Like, it's only been around for, like, what, 30?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so that's awesome about the compounding zone. And thank you for clarifying that, because I think that's one of the biggest conversations that is had is most practitioners will be like, yeah, don't get compounding. It's, you know.
Yep. Well, and to be clear, like, there's massive amount of money being spent by the other side to say compounding is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Course.
Because it is. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And
competing with them directly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to have that conversation too, because you're like, I'm not just trying to be like a big pharma person, but at the same time, it is, you know, that is a real thing. There's lobbyists on, you know, all that side. But I will say it is pretty interesting how more affordable compounding is as well compared to what people will pay out of pocket through like their insurance. Because most insurance, like I've had so many clients, I have one currently trying to work with Eli Lilly and even trying to buy it out of pocket because they have the funds for that. But it's like $1,300 a month. And that's just, you know, it's crazy. So I've been trying to like sneak in like, well, you should explore compounded, you know, but yeah. So we'll kind of see where that goes for the general population. But I do love that, you know, this is available for everybody. So let's kind of, I want to circle back to the way that, you know, how these GLP-1 medications, it was game changer for you. So can you talk a little bit about not only that experience for you, like the process of starting GLP-1 and some of the things you navigated, and then some success stories from clients?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna add one thing to the end of that last conversation.
Yeah.
And I think as consumers, we should be absolutely floored that you can buy these drugs for $50 in India. Right? Like Eli's all over the news, you know, end of last week for launching their product in India at $50 a month. Come on, you know, like, and we can't even manufacture it for that price because we're at a much smaller scale than an organization like that. But the difference between 50 there and 1300 here is, come on, quit abusing America for profit.
Oh yeah, I know.
So
yes.
Now
yes.
Your next question, like my experience, again, you know, I am fairly risk adverse, right? Like I will lean into risky situations. So getting medication online and kind of figuring that out wasn't super scary to me. That is not the majority of our population from a patient perspective, right? A little bit older, a little bit less tech savvy. You know, the number of conversations that I have personally had with potential patients around, I'm going to do this whole doctor conversation over text message is almost like disbelief, right? They're like, that doesn't seem legitimate. Like, help me understand more of that. You know, so we're trying to take that scariness out of it, right? Like that was the big, you know, and I think again, like I was very lucky in the fact that I had, you know, a therapist that I was working with from a mental health side. I could, you know, go and do research around nutrition and fitness. And I just don't think that that is a generally accessible thing for a lot of individuals, right? So bringing that to bear was part of that customer experience that we wanted to deliver on, because I know that that had a huge impact in the results that I was able to accomplish, right? It's not, you know, I'd love to say it's the easy button. And for some folks, you take a shot and then they're just like, yeah, I don't eat for the week, right? But for a lot of folks, it's still, I need to count calories. I need to get up and be active. I need to make sure I'm taking in enough water. So having the support systems in place to do that. I mean, my personal, you know, I think I'm not as rigorous with my weekly dosing anymore. So I'm kind of a little bit more on like the maintenance mode personally. But I'm down 65 pounds and it kind of just, you know, and it was a year long journey. There was a number of plateaus in there where I was like, man, I'm over here on this side selling this stuff and I've been plateaued for 2 months. That sucks. Like if anybody should be able to figure it out, I should, right? So that happens and you just kind of muscle through it, right? Like you pay a little bit more attention to your calories at that point in time, you up your water intake, right? There's a lot of things that, you know, I think are important there. I will tell you what, yeah, I don't have any specific patient stories that I will sell, but the most gratifying moment is, you know, every day there are multiple posts in our community where people are doing before and after photos and showing off kind of how amazing they feel and the change that this has created for them. And I mean, it's, you know, some of it is, you know, I'm looking to lose 20 pounds, but some of it is I've lost 150 pounds in, you know, 16 months. And, you know, I've gone from I can't do anything with my family and my kids to the healthiest I've ever been in my entire life. Right. And that's just phenomenal. Right. Like what an outcome. And I think, you know, when we originally sat down and reached out, so I, you know, one of the first things we did as a business was I made a post on my personal Facebook page and I said, I need to know who's on this stuff. And I got, you know, probably 15 friends and family members that reached out and I did conversations with all of them. And the resounding theme, and maybe this is because I'm older, was they were in the second half of life, right? And it was, how do I keep up with my kids, right? I've lost that ability. I'm in a position where I'm thinking about my retirement and I'm not going to be able to enjoy it because I'm so unhealthy, right? Or because I'm not going to be as active as I was hoping to be. I want to keep up with my grandkids. So I think as an organization, we're really focused on like, how do you get the best second half of your life, right? Like that's the theme. That's what we're all aiming for. That's the audience. And You know, those stories are just, you know, resonating with that idea. They are getting, you know, I'll tell one personal story. It was a friend of mine, helped me get my first job out of college, was the first customer to sign up for Orderly. And when I did that one-on-one conversation with him prior to being an Orderly customer, he said, "Here's my story. My fiance and I went to Hawaii and booked a helicopter ride to go do like our honeymoon tour. And I had to pay for two seats." And that was my moment that I was like, I have to do something about this. And, you know, so he's been a customer for a year now. And it was probably about 2 months ago, they went back to Hawaii and he, you know, made it a point to say like, I only had to buy one seat this time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's amazing. Right. Like goosebumps kind of level impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say this to our team on a regular basis. Like, I really enjoy consulting work. We got to build some cool projects. I will never, and I believe this for our whole team, we will never get to have the impact on humanity and people's lives like we can at Orderly Meds right now, right? Like these are real life-changing results for a huge number of people, more than I ever thought I would have a personal impact.
No, that's awesome. I think that that's funny that you talk about that because my husband and I, for our honeymoon in Kauai, we did the helicopter thing and we had to shift because the couple that we were with, the guy was like, so the weights that you guys, because they weigh you when you get there, it's honestly kind of shocking. Like it could be a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't, I feel like they should give maybe a trigger warning for some people. They're like, you don't want to lie when you tell them how much you weigh, but they're like, you guys are about 20 pounds more. So we need to move around. So I wasn't able to actually sit with my husband. And I could tell that the wife had kind of like a moment that might've been one of those kind of aha moments of like, ooh. So, you know, I can totally see how that would, you know, be something that would motivate because it, you know, it changes that. But I would say mostly for a lot of my clients that have had these game-changing moments is because they've been struggling with metabolic dysfunction. And I think the GLP-1 receptor agonist medications are phenomenal. Like I've completely changed my mindset. Like I have to actually re-record my first ever episode on GLP-1s because I'm like, my perspective, I don't think I'm going to re-record. I'm going to do like a follow-up because my perspective's completely changed because I've seen it for not just weight loss or metabolic dysfunction, but fertility, you know, and so many things, especially for PCOS because of the insulin management.
Right.
It's been an insane medication. And so having access to that more affordably, I think is, you know, so I think it is, I could see how you guys have changed lives with having this accessible. So
I did not see that first episode about GLP-1. So what was the soundbite that you think is substantially different?
I would say initially, because there were so many like little, like the black label stuff was coming out and you know, all these different, and then just the conversations people are having in the background of like, oh, you're gonna lose all your muscle, all this different stuff. And, you know, the muscle thing is the biggest one. And it's so funny because you never hear general population talking about how much you need to make muscle. However, all of a sudden they started to be like, well, you're gonna lose muscle. It's like, well, maybe it didn't even have that much in the first place, you know, not in a bad way, but more of like, it's just funny the things people hold on to. But initially, you know, as a past history of being a personal trainer, I was always like a little bit concerned because, you know, a lot of these is like, we're spending so much time putting on muscle. And a lot of my female clients, like they take a long time to put on muscle, especially if they have metabolic dysfunction. So when we actually like, I like data, I get kind of nerdy about that. So my clients typically will get body scans, like DEXA scans, and we run their blood work kind of, you know, semi-annually just to make sure. And the way that it's even improved, like lipids on like their lipid, their lipid panels have just gotten perfect, practically almost like all, it's crazy, you know? And, I haven't seen any significant muscle loss compared to like metformin. Metformin is a thing that has actually taken a lot of muscle rapidly from several clients whose practitioners put it on them. Against kind of my, I was like, I don't know, you know, but you know, metformin is one of those drugs that they're always like, try metformin before you do Ozempic or whatever. So I would say that I would kind of go back and change a little bit of like my, like, I don't know about this because of this, you know?
And I don't want to, I mean, I think this is absolutely one of those things you got to do your own research, right? To your point, this is medical advice, but you know, you can go buy stuff that is research grade and put that into your body. And I mean, that's not a thing that I would do, but you can go like that website is like, you have to check like 9 times. I promise I will not inject this into a human, but they will sell you some weird stuff online and it's much cheaper than getting it prescribed by a doctor. But like the risk associated with taking on figuring out how to schedule that dosing and how much needs to be added to rehydrate the powders. I mean, you know, again, like anecdotally, I think that there's probably one post a week that makes it into our community where somebody's like, this person told me they had a bunch of Wegovy pens and I bought them super cheap and I got empty boxes, right? And it's just like, we are so excited about getting access to these meds at a better price that I think a lot of people will, you know, it's like the adage, if it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. That would be my risk warning, right? Like, do your research, make sure you understand who you're working with, where it's coming from. Those are important questions, especially for something you're going to inject into your body.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, if you search the lab that is on the bottle and you can't find any third-party testing or any resources to even contact somebody from the lab, like, I would for sure be like, no.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, even though some people may balk at like 200, like, well, like Orderly is around 99 with the simple start, and then it goes up 199 to 299, depending on if it's tirzepatide or not. That is wildly more affordable than even some co-pays that some of my clients are paying for. And I've also found too, a lot of my clients that have shifted from Wegovy or Mounjaro to the compounded version, they were getting allergic reactions to the fillers that are in the Wegovy or Ozempic and all that. Have you guys seen that, or have you heard from in the community, like, some people switching from the brand name to compound and having like a better reaction or anything?
You know, I think there's, this kind of plays into the, you know, all of us are so unique, right? If I look at adverse reactions that we have seen, you know, more often than not, the major ones happen in a switch from, I was on some level of semaglutide and I switched over some higher level of tirzepatide and I end up with a rash, or, you know, I get the extra, you know, itchy skin spot, wherever your injection spot is. Other than a short period of time last April, when Zepbound first went on the shortage, I think the majority of our patients are not switching in from a branded medication. So we have not seen a lot of what you've just described. We've seen more of it as you're switching between the meds, right? And I think it is the higher levels of tears coming off of, you know, semaglutide. And while they have that rash, they also will, you know, categorically say that the symptoms are significantly less on the tirzepatide side than on the semaglutide side.
Yeah, no, and that's actually an interesting point of what I've noticed as well, because early on there was a lot more people saying tirzepatide was potentially more reactive for more females. And then now it's completely flip-flopped, which I guess kind of goes back to what you were talking about of like the way that people are like, this compounding is what's up. And then no, it's not, you know, so many, like, in the general population world, like, a lot of the conversation is like, okay, Ozempic, what's up? And then it's like, okay, now it's Mounjaro, or okay, now it's Zepbound. And then it's just like, guys, they're like,
they're all basically the same with a margin of error.
So it's like, what can you get the most affordable that works well for you? But so I think that is more of where I do tend to, like, if they want to go for it, tirzepatide seems to be more effective, especially through research. It is more expensive, but it is like a double receptor agonist, or maybe it's triple.
It's double.
But they're working on triples and stuff right now. Which, what do you guys actually, in that zone for my peptide heads, like ratatouille and all of that, what have you guys, been able to explore that? Or is that still because they're not, like, patented?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from the... you know, the other one that I love is, like, I call it semaglutide. I've heard semaglutide, tirzepatide. The other one I call retatutide. You call it retatide. Like, okay, we're all going to release, like, our vocals on how we want to call these things. But, you know, those are available. You could go find those on a research site right now, but they're still not even FDA approved, right? There's not a dosing schedule that I have seen that anybody has said you need 3 milligrams of this to start and scale up. So that is very much a choose your own adventure kind of have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, they're going to say this is a triple antagonist and it's this much percentage more after 2 more years of study. And, you know, and the folks that are starting on it now, like, again, it's just a risk because, you know, there are different grades of API, active pharmaceutical ingredient, right? There's research grade, there's animal grade, there's human grade. The stuff that you can buy online right now is research grade, right? It is the bottom of the pyramid of processing and, you know, approval. It's FDA approved research grade, but it's still research grade. You know, I will admit a little bit of ignorance here. Like, there are so many peptides out there and so many of them are kind of on the don't touch list right now from, like, a medical perspective. But I think I presume that we will continue to see that opening up, and there will be more research on all of those things and more kind of proof points associated with them. I assume there's a couple of incredible outliers that are going to have a great impact on us, and one of them is going to turn us into zombies. And, you know, we just got to figure out which one it is.
No, for sure. And I think that is a good distinction to make, because a lot of people have told me, like, oh, I looked online and I found tesamorelin, surmorelin, you know, and those, for everyone listening, if you don't know what those are like growth hormone receptor agonists. And so essentially it's like, if it says like approved for research grade, like, yes, you can buy it, but it always has that little disclaimer, like research only. So that's great to make the distinction that it's below animal testing. Not even like to human yet. Right. No, totally. That's so funny. I have it. I didn't actually even realize that. I always thought it was like research to human. So it's like, oop.
Yeah.
Oops. Not even on rats yet. So, right. But yes. Yeah, for sure. Yes. Be very careful. That is the biggest thing. Probably don't is probably what I would say. But not medical advice, but probably don't. One of the other things that I kind of wanted to share today before we kind of wrap our chat up is, what are some things that you would say, with how much you know now and how much experience you've had with these medications, are non-negotiables? Like, if somebody wants to go on it and have the best success possible, what are like the things that they need to do with their lifestyle to have the best results, maintain those results, et cetera?
I mean, my most important one, because I think it leads to all of the bad, the real bad events that you see, are related to water intake. Right.
Oh,
when
yes.
you're eating less, you start drinking less water because you usually only had that at a meal or whatever it might be. And all of the bad, get more water, right? Like that's the number one. You know, and then I can go down the list of, you know, marketing. So you go get your protein, prioritize protein, you know, make sure that you get up and walk. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, give yourself grace. Like, you're going to stall out. Your body's going to react different than the next person, right? Like, I love when somebody makes a post and they're like, I've lost 15 pounds in a month. And I'm like, all your hair is going with it.
Yes.
Right? Like, slow down. Yes. Like, slow down. You are not getting enough nutrients to maintain.
Such a good point.
Right? And then the next person comes along and they're like, well, I've only lost 5 pounds in this month and I'm so disappointed. And it's like, have the right expectation.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's on us to set those expectations. I think that is on the medical providers to be setting those expectations. You know, but a pound and a half a week is like an incredible loss rate and is in the safe range, right? Like,
yes,
it's not about 15 pounds in a 4 week period. That's just dangerous. You know, I think the other one, and again, this is different than the pens. The auto injectors are great. It's an exact dose. You can't screw it up. You know, I think across the board, and I've gotten on calls, like video calls with patients, to walk them through how to do their dosing. Because it is confusing the first time, right? You're like, you sent me 2.5 milligrams per ml, and I got a 3 ml vial, and I'm trying to do this math. And then you give me, I need X number of units. And people are just like, it's like, I mean, I said this a lot. I think the medical community does all that to like confuse the rest of us on what we're actually putting in. You know, so just pay attention to your dosing. If you have questions, don't wing it. Don't fill the whole needle up with the entire vial and inject yourself. You're going to have a really bad week, right? Like, reach out, get the help you need, get the units correct. That's it. If I had a drumbeat above and beyond water, it is like, if you aren't confident, ask for help. Don't just randomly dose yourself.
Yes, especially with medications and like ones that are powerful. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's not going to kill you, but you're not going to feel great if you, you know, over inject what you're supposed to be taking.
No, I think that those are really important things for people to consider. And especially the movement component, I think a lot of people underestimate, you know, especially if you stall out, like, increase your walking. You don't even have to go weightlift. Weightlifting is great.
Yes. When I think about it from a fitness perspective, you know, this isn't you went from doing nothing to you need to be doing squats and box jumps. And it's, you just need to get up and go for a 20 minute walk every day. Right, like, start there, watch, get your knees back into lubricating and moving and feeling good, right? And then, yeah, you'll escalate naturally into more complex movements and weightlifting and the other things, you know.
Yeah, especially for maintenance and keeping it off. I think the clients that have gone off of it and like gained everything back, or their family members, usually, it's not usually the clients, because I'm usually like, meh. But they usually, it's because they never incorporated a movement component, made habits, you know. So I think a lot of people if they can establish habits throughout it, you know. And I do think maintenance dosing is a successful thing, especially if you're prone to metabolic dysfunction, like if your lifestyle, your genetics, you know, there's a lot of components to it that I think that's great to titrate up, titrate back, and maintain, you know, better than...
Can we spend one more minute there? Because I do think the habit forming element is super important, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Another regular question, like, so when I stop taking these meds, I'm going to gain all the weight back.
Yes.
And my response is yes, just like every other wellness related activity. Mm-hmm. If you stop eating well, you're going to start to put the weight back on. If you stop working out, you're going to start to put the weight back on, right? This isn't a unique problem.
No.
It is, you didn't change the underlying cause.
Yes.
Or work on element, you know, give yourself tools to stop the binge eating, do that through mental health, give yourself tools to get up and go be active through the fitness, right? Make a little bit healthier choices from a food perspective. But yeah, I always loved the, well, when I stop the meds, I'm just going to gain all the weight back. Yep. You are.
Yeah.
You didn't change anything else about your life. You absolutely are.
Yeah, it's not a magic wand. It's a extremely powerful therapeutic assistant to all the rest. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that has been a good thing for clients of mine that have established those habits, but then the metabolic dysfunction is making it impossible for any more weight to move. You know, I see this the most with female clients. Guys can stop putting creamer in their coffee and they lose like 30 pounds. Not all, but I've definitely noticed a pattern between when I train their husbands or, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I think the hydration thing, can't highlight that enough, because I've had a few friends who even didn't know that. And it I wish some practitioners, because she went through, you know, her conventional medicine GP, was on WeGovi, and went to the ER twice for electrolyte imbalances from dehydration. And I was like, whew. We really need to make sure you know that you need to hydrate all day. Like also too, when you're losing fat and accessing it, you're flushing a lot of water as well, because that's what's necessary for moving fat out. So I'm glad that you highlighted all of those things. So I think that's important for everybody to make sure. So the takeaway from today, stay hydrated if you're going to use these meds. But all right. So as we close out this conversation today, Chris, I would love to ask, in what way, if any, do you find yourself a wellness rebel?
Yeah. I mean, I think we hit on a lot of things, but what I would close with, you know, I find it irresponsible to, and we make money off of this, right? So I'm obviously got a, you know, a very specific point of view, but, you know, compounding has given so many people access to these medications at a price point that they can afford. And without it, it's not like they're going to go to the grocery store and buy a $1,300 a month. You know, that's a mortgage payment, you know, so it's not like there's an alternative here. And I love the response. It's like, just get to the gym more. Well, you know, like this is actually working for people. Let's allow that to continue working. If I play out the future where I would love to see Orderly go as a business, it is not to stay just in the weight loss GLP-1 category, but it is to go look at other medications that are outside of the accessible range for people that need it, right? Whether that is $5,000 narcolepsy pills or $10,000 cancer shots, like what else is possible to be compounded and dramatically reduce the price point so that it becomes, you know, available to a much, much broader audience? And I hope that the healthcare system continues to allow that and drive us in that direction, because accessibility, I think, is more important than how much profit got made.
Yeah, and I do think that is something I'd love to see from being on the other end and helping clients navigate things and insurance conversations that go in circles for hours and weeks and months, and it's the system's broken. So I think that you're offering a lot of solutions that are moving towards hopefully the system being a little bit repaired if we can, you know.
Well, and you know, you said this earlier, right? This category of medication is only a handful of years in like general adoption. You know, telemedicine at this kind of scale is in its brand new infancy. You know, the next 10 years is going to be really incredible from, I think, like the speed and access to medical information and, you know, just results, right? Like we're going to know more and be able to process more information faster.
Yeah.
And it's just going to make us all better.
Totally. And since we have so many people with more longitudinal data as well, I'm sure some things will be improving in that zone. And so I think only good things to come. You know what I mean? A lot of people think
totally
it's
agree.
Blurry, but All right, Chris, thank you so much for being with us today. And then I will actually put them all in the show notes as well. But of course, the main way that people can access your company is through orderlymeds.com. Mm-hmm. But any other things going on, any other projects or anything you want to close the episode with?
No, I hope you watch this space. I hope you pay attention to what we're going to do around personalized medicine in this category. I think we will be the industry leader in our approach to continue to provide access to this category of drugs. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm very excited about it because I do think that there's so much to this world.
Awesome. Kaylee, thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
All right, Rebel. Celebrate your strength and nourishment. Walk with confidence. And I'll catch you in 2 weeks on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live. So stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand curated, not AI generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So, all right, Rebel, until next episode.